T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour of Dale and Keefe is brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Summer Clearance Event. Get your new 2020 Ram Bighorn today.
This is the Dale and Keefe Show. Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, when you first meet him, just his stature, and he's got a great energy.
During COVID, you know, you're trying to figure out how to bring a team together, and the dynamic he brings into the locker room and everybody embracing him is the best part, because, you know, we got a unique team here. So once he came in, he's fitting right in.
It's been exciting. He definitely brings a good energy, bringing nice juice with it. So it's been good.
I think more than anything, it was just great energy. You know, just everybody's just excited to get back out on the football field and grind, you know.
A lot of folks talking about the energy down at Gillette Stadium, and gee, what would be the biggest difference? What's the energy bringer here, as if we couldn't tell? And it's not Jared Stidham, by the way. Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI, Andy Hart, WEEI.com, Nick Cattle's in the house with us today. And they sure are doing a lot of happy talk down there, aren't they?
Well, we talked about this the minute he signed, that there is a definite smile, magnetism, energy, aura to Cam Newton. My only question is that all this is? That's who he is? You know, they're noting it. Or is there any sort of comparison being made to, oh, I don't know, maybe some guy who played quarterback here a
Mr.
year ago?
Grumpy McPants?
Grumpy McGrumppants. Yes, you know it, Dale. Now, I'm not going so far as to say, as Mutt did yesterday, that Bill would be sort of pushing players to note the energy of Cam Newton.
Oh, that's hot.
That take is hot.
That was a hot take.
Woo.
And I want no part of it. I want to make sure everybody knows that's Mutt's. That's Mutt's hot take. I think these players are just reacting naturally. And I do believe, now this may be a hot take or not, I have said this before, I do believe Tom Brady was a net negative energy on the Patriots a year ago through his final season, which he admitted to Howard Stern.
He knew it was his final season.
He knew, and it didn't go well. And some of it, I think, was that final season contract. Some of it, I do think, was a natural athletic reaction to, we're not good enough. I see what's around me. I see the line. I see the receivers. And I know we're winning some games early in the year, but I know what championship caliber football teams look like, and this isn't it. So there were different factors, layers to it, nuances, as they like to say sometimes in these debates. But he was a negative drain, I think, on some level. And players noticed that, just like they noticed Cam Newton.
Yeah, this is one of the major reasons why I thought signing Cam was a no-brainer for the Patriots. And I know some people get wrapped up in the polarizing kind of things that Cam tends to do from time to time. The Superman, for some people, is polarizing. Not for me, but for some people.
Mm-hmm. Not for me either.
Sort of for me.
If they want to get hung up on that, Andy, good luck to you.
I wouldn't say hung up. Rubs the wrong way is the phrase I've used.
Okay. I mean, semantics, gradations, whatever.
I
don't even know what that means.
One of the reasons why, though, I thought it was such a no-brainer is what we're talking about right now. He does have a different energy about him, and he embraces the game of football. You can have your questions about him sulking. That's fair. You can put that on the table. We've seen that happen. You can question why he didn't jump on the loose football during the Super Bowl. That is a question. That is fair. It's on the table. But when you take Cam's career in totality, there's no denying this guy loves football. He embraces the game. As we look at him not jumping on the loose football, that is fair. It's also also fair to look at how many times he's run through linebackers, defensive ends, and helicoptered into the end zone for a touchdown.
Had his body beaten to crap,
right,
and officials not protecting him. And
precisely. So it's the energy, but it's also, guys, I don't know how you feeling. Andy, you and I have talked about this a little bit on Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. till 1 p.m., by the way, if you're listening.
Honk,
when you look at Cam, he's got that swag. He commands the room. And I think it was so important. And I'm not saying that Stidham could not have done the job, and he still might do the job if Cam's not healthy, if something happens. But to me, it was crucial to find somebody at the most critical position in the NFL, probably the most critical position in all of sports, to replace the greatest of all time at that position. It was critical to me to bring a guy in who was comfortable in his own skin, super confident, some would say cocky, a little bit brash, but he's not worried about the last guy that was here. He's worried about himself, and he's used to the spotlight. So the energy and the idea that he doesn't have much of an issue replacing Tom Brady, I think those are two of the things that you look at and reason why you bring him into the program.
You're getting one of these ticked off dogs.
One of those. I can't remember who it was. One of the guys who was down at the first practice that they've been out on the field that we've seen yesterday. And he was delineating who took the snaps at quarterback. And in order, by the way, Brian Hoyer was first.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost as if Bill Belichick was saying, you know what, screw you. I'll tell you who's going out there first. Brian, go take some snaps. He was just messing with folks at that point.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not, you know, get into, oh, so Brian Hoyer's starting. Oh, my God.
No, he's not.
He went through a drill first that happened to be, you know, meaningless. Cam Newton is the starter. I think everybody on this planet other than Glenn Ordway, who's still, I'm looking at the board now in the studio.
And maybe Kennedy Stidham.
Yes. Oh, yeah, she should.
She still thinks, and that's fine.
Probably a couple parents, grandparents, uncles in there that are, you know, you know what? You get to uncle level, I bet you Uncle Stidham saying, hey, I mean, he's Cam Newton. I mean, I'd love to root for you, Jared.
I mean, what are you doing here?
But if Jared Stidham could say the things Cam Newton is saying and will say about Tom Brady, right? We're not going to take them the same way. The second-year former fourth-round pick who has thrown four NFL passes in 15 snaps and one was a pick six, he can say the exact same words, use the same playbook with the media. We are not going to put as much value in those words as a guy with Cam Newton's resume. So it's not just the personality and the confidence. It's the cachet, right? The believability, Jared Stidham, I know you say you're competing and you're not worried about replacing Tom Brady. I don't believe you. Cam Newton, I believe you. You've been there. You've done that. You have Superman in your veins, and you've done it at multiple levels, right? This is a guy whose career has included competing / backing up / trying to be a factor at Florida in the Tim Tebow era.
Yep.
And we all know that Tim Tebow is, you know, the god of Gainesville. That's just what he was for his entire time there. Then he goes to JUCO, wins, goes to Auburn, wins. Then he arrives in the NFL as the number one pick, embraces it, wins, essentially. Can we give him a win for going to a Super Bowl, winning an MVP? Like, that he's achieved. Everywhere he goes, he succeeds. Why would there be a lack of confidence now?
Yeah, and when he walks into the room, what you're talking about, Andy, is that the other guys believe in him, and I think that's why you're hearing so much excitement. I'm not necessarily sold on the idea, Dale, that if this was Jared Stidham, we'd be hearing the same things from the Patriots. I know it's
energy thing.
Right, the energy. Yeah. And, you know, he's just, I know Giardi also said yesterday on the NFL Network that Cam is, quote unquote, already the show. I don't think we're hearing those kinds of things this early on if it's Stidham. It's because it's Cam. It's because he has that polarizing personality. And, you know, I said this last night on Late Night. He's a unicorn. And so when unicorns walk into the room, they don't necessarily have to do anything to get your attention because they're a freaking unicorn. When Kristaps Porzingis came over to the United States and started playing for the Knicks, everybody started calling that cat the unicorn. It's not because he was running his mouth. It's not because he was shooting IG videos. It wasn't because any of that. It's because when he walks into a room and you see him play the game, you say to yourself, that guy is unique. That guy is a unicorn. And Cam, with his size, his frame, the way he plays the game, if he's healthy, which is always the premise, he's a unicorn. And unicorns, They get the attention. And other players, they tend to believe in unicorns more because they know how unique and special they can be.
And by
I know people who kind of mocked the pre-cam reports out of Foxborough that the Patriots really like Jared Stidham. They do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not made up. They really do like Jared Stidham. I think the coaching staff likes him. They like his work ethic. He seems to be very popular with his teammates. But to Nick's point, sorry, Jared, we got a unicorn here for at least a year, and we got to do what's best for the team.
That's, you know, I like when my wife makes, you know, boring shake-and-bake chicken breast for dinner. But if somebody offers me a trip to a steakhouse, I'm going to the steakhouse, right?
Yeah.
I was polite to my wife. I said I liked it. It's not bad. It's fine chicken. You know, you get a little side salad, maybe some cream corn. But if somebody offers me a much better meal, I'm going to jump at the chance for that meal.
Yeah, and when
it's
you
12
look
o'clock,
at,
I'm hungry.
When you look at, I can tell. When you can, when you look at Cam, you just know that he brings a different level to the game, and he does things. No matter how good Stidham can be, he does things that other guys can't do. And Andy and I, Dale, on Saturday, we had a discussion about, you know, could we actually see the quarterback position be better than it was last year? And some people think that's blasphemous. They think it's outrageous to say because the great Tom Brady. Well, you know, better or not, it's going to be different. And Cam is going to be able to do things that Tom Brady couldn't do, just like Brady
oh, yeah,
can do something.
There are plays in Josh McDaniels' playbook that Tom Brady would never have seen.
Absolutely. And there are things that Brady can do in fairness that Cam can't do, right? But when you look at Cam, it's the factor that Belichick mentioned in 2017. You can game plan all you want for this guy, but if he's healthy, you just can't account for who he is and what he is on the field. And that's something, as excited as they could be about Jared Stidham, that's something he does not bring to the table. He does not bring that X factor, so to speak, where defenses the night before the game go, I don't want to deal with that dude.
Right. And I remember a preseason game, this was a while ago now, where all week, you know, you got the generic, oh, where, you know, it's good to get another opponent, and obviously Cam's an interesting quarterback, and our pass rush, and blah, blah, blah. And then you got out there, and I can't remember whether it was Rob Ninkovich or Chandler Jones, but one of them bit on a little read option, took two steps down, and Cam just beat him off the edge for like a 20-yard run down the sideline. And it's like, you know what's coming, you know what he can do, and then he does it on the field, and you still look silly. You know, it's, to a lesser degree, Lamar Jackson. You got all these linebackers that prep all week. Oh, I'm, you know, you got to leverage and inside out. And you know what he does? He embarrasses you because he's the best athlete on the field, right?
He hits the R1, man.
Right.
He hits the R1 or the left one.
And that's just the reality that Cam has certain things in his game. And, again, this isn't a shot. I know some people would probably get, oh, Tom was good at stuff, too. Tom, six titles. Boy, Tom must have really. Nope. We're just talking about differences, and you have a different quarterback with some significant strengths.
Different sport, but a similar feeling. Earlier today when Rod Brindamore was talking about the play of the top line of the Bruins, and he said on the first goal, he said, look, we knew exactly what they were going to do. We played it exactly the way we wanted to play it, but they're just that good.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, Cam Newton. We know where he's going. We know what he's going to do, but from a physical standpoint, he's just overwhelming for some guys trying to make the tackle, trying to make the stop. It's like, what the hell do I do with this guy?
And the flip side is true, that there's going to be times with his accuracy, for example, where you're going to look at it and say, eh, he didn't really put Edelman in position to run after catch there, right? He threw it a little bit behind him, so it's a 3-yard gain on that little inside rub route or whatever instead of what could have been an 8-yard gain if it had been out in front of him. So, you know, we're not saying he's the perfect quarterback. We're not saying, you know, we're not dismissing the fact that he's battled injuries for 2 years and he's lost his last 8 starts. I don't want to, you know, put on my Cam number one jersey and start getting ready for parade or anything like that, which, by the way, we need to get into at some point. Our friend Shimes Boys over at PFF. Did you see that tweet today, Dale?
I did not, no.
PFF, the
I'm
local version.
I'm usually pretty good about this stuff, but this I didn't see it.
This was the local version, the PFF Patriots account or whatever. They're having a discussion. Cam Newton once led the Panthers to a 15-1 season.
I did see this one.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Is 16-0 in the...
In all fairness, I didn't agree with this. I just want to point that out. I did not ask for this.
I mean, a guy who has literally not taken a snap in anger and you're wondering whether he and Belichick can negotiate a 16-0 season.
And who has lost the last time he did take, eight times in a row that he did take a snap. He has like a Scheim against Sergio streak going of 0 for 8.
Sergey, but nice
Sergey, whatever it is, Sergio. So I mean, I want to start the hype train. I know we have a lot going on, thankfully, in the sports world in Boston, and I'm very happy to join the, you know, the Patriots are back, hype train and all that. But 60, have you seen the schedule? Even if the Patriots are good, even if Cam is MVP Cam, it's a tough freaking schedule.
I was going to say, if he's MVP Cam, you're looking at 10-11 wins.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, there's not many things that I hate more than undefeated talk before the season kicks off. I think it's so ridiculous.
Well, they were on the field for the first time yesterday.
Oh, of course. We saw Cam roll out for 15 seconds of video and throw a football for the first time. So there we go, 16-0.
Championship.
I do think, though, as we talk about Cam and we talk about this offense, fellas, I think another guy that needs to be in the conversation is Josh McDaniels. I think there's a lot of pressure on him this year. I think this is a huge challenge. I mean, you look at the circumstances due to COVID. You look at the fact that the tight end position is going to be very, very young. You're not really sure what you have in the backfield just yet and how that order is going to fall together. You have some questions at wide receiver. You know, a lot of people don't believe in Sanu. I think he's fine as a 2 or a 2B. I think Edelman will be okay. But you do have some questions. You know, will N'Keal Harry make that jump? You've got an offensive line that is now thin. I think you still have enough talent to get by. But if somebody goes down, it might be a big-time issue. So you look at all of these things. There is a lot, and I mean a lot, on Josh McDaniels' plate. And I haven't even discussed utilizing Cam in doing different things with this offense. So I'm fascinated, Dale and Andy, on how McDaniels handles all of this and whether or not all the creativity that we've talked about and the fact that Brady, in some instances, would handcuff the guy. I want to see what he does because I think this is a big, big year for the offensive coordinator.
Look, I'm all for .com on .com crime. I advocate it. I endorse it. I like reading it.
Yeah.
So Ken Laird wrote a piece on Wednesday saying Julian Edelman had the most to prove on the Patriots this season.
What are those little lollipops called?
Huh?
Dum-dums.
You mean or suckers? So
either
Ryan,
way it works, yeah, Dale. Sucker
Dad
or
joke.
Dum-dums.
So
Dad
Ryan, thank you. So Ryan Hannibal came out with a piece. He said, you know, that's an interesting premise. I'll rank the top 10 Patriots in terms of who has the most to prove. Now, interestingly, he's got Belichick 1, and I agree with him. He's got Newton, too, because it really is a prove-me kind of contract for him. And to your point, Nick, he's got Josh McDaniels, 3. And it goes to that whole thing about, okay, Josh, you don't have the security blanket that you've had for the last X number of years. Now show us what you can do with this guy.
Yeah, I like the Newton one because the Newton one isn't just related to the Patriots or this is his career on the line. This is... You know, I know there was some controversy
really
the other day.
It kind of is, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. And he wrote it.
He goes out there and coughs up a furball. Who's going to sign him next?
Right. He was 86 days unemployed this offseason. It might be 365 next year if he stinks with the Patriots. And, oh, by the way, Josh McDaniels and the Patriots. And, you know, it's not like he didn't get good coaching or it was a bad system or he was put in a spot to fail. This is the Patriots, right? Bill Belichick puts you in position to succeed. You fail here. Your career is, you might need one of the, what do they call those things? They take off the wall? AEDs or whatever. Doo-doom, doo-doom. We jumpstart that career there.
What the hell was that?
You mean a defibrillator?
I don't know. Those things they have at gyms that, like, if somebody has a heart attack, you can grab it and zap them.
I don't know. I just heard a lot of words and then sound effects.
Sound effects.
I wasn't seen really that. Sure. Clear!
You know,
a defibrillator.
I'm looking it up.
When I look at the pressure and who has the most pressure, I kind of look at this a little bit differently. Like, to me, if Cam is healthy, he's going to be fine. I don't think, you know, there's much to do about him. I don't think he's too worried about it, just looking at his comportment and how he handles himself. As far as Belichick, I don't think the pressure, he would be number one because his legacy is there. You know, like, even if they don't play great this year, Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, the greatest of all time. I think the pressure on McDaniels is much different because throughout his career, I mean, you look at it, right? What he's done. He's in New England. He's got Brady. Everybody's praising him. He goes to Denver. That thing goes down in a blaze of glory. I mean, that was a disaster from almost the beginning. And, you know, then he takes the sabbatical to be the OC for the Rams. And then he comes back And again, he's being talked about as the great young mind, the next big head coach. The crazy thing happens with Indianapolis. He comes back. Some of the narrative is, well, he couldn't survive. He didn't want to have a future without Brady. So I think every step of the way when we've discussed McDaniels, he's always had the Brady covering. And now you take that away, and this is going to be Josh McDaniels, the play caller. This is going to be, you know, what we see this year is going to be within his brain and what we expected from him all these years. I think this is his prove it year. I mean, I've got to imagine he's looking at the Giants and saying, you know, with all due respect to the Judge family and Joe, but really, like, that guy got the Giants job? Like, that guy got the Giants job. I've been on the staff with that guy. I think there's a lot of questions about how good and how really good McDaniels is. He has a chance to answer all of them this year.
Yeah, and I've told you this. I'm a McDaniels guy. I think he will answer them. I think there's probably a little bit of a excitable challenge to it for him. That, yeah. Like, there's an opportunity. I've had to sort of do things one way forever. We had that quote from Bill before the draft. For 20 years, everything's been tailored to Tom Brady and his strengths and the maximizing. Now Josh can open up what Cam Newton, McDaniels, call some plays now. Never called before. Like, that's exciting. That's fun. Like, he looks across and goes, oh, maybe let's see what they're doing in L.A. Oh, Jed Fish, you came over. Let's see what they were doing. You know, my buddy Chip Kelly does some things. And,
you know, I can't remember
him.
The last time I called a naked boot, but what the hell? Let's give that a whirl here.
Right, and now the throwback to the quarterback. Now the quarterback is a big, athletic specimen.
I wanted Josh to retire that option forever. I was so sick of seeing them throw the football to Tom Brady. Well, I don't mind getting those pages back in the book.
Yes, so we could have some fun here. I'm not to Randy Moss version of fun, where this is going to be the most fun we've ever seen from a Patriots team, because, again, I liked the Randy Moss version 2007. That was fun to me. But I do think there is some opportunity for Josh to diversify. Right. Show that he can do it different ways with different people. And maybe that opens him up to some opportunities where, oh, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, he's the perfect guy because I'm going to get an athletic quarterback. Well, maybe Josh McDaniels goes, Cliff Kingsbury couldn't hold my jock. Cliff Kingsbury sucked at Texas Tech. He got fired. I've been winning titles in the National Football League for 2 decades. Why is Cliff Kingsbury having fun with Kyler Murray and I'm stuck over here? I'm going to show you what I can do.
I was just going to say, let's get a break in real quick here.
Okay.
Mike Giardi is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. We'll get his thoughts. Mike Giardi from the NFL Network with us next. Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattles, and it's time to trend.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by MyPillow. You can save 30% on MyPillow's mattress topper with promo code WEEI. Visit MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to save on the mattress topper, MyPillow Sheets, and more with promo code WEEI. Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy just announced a few minutes ago Tuukka Rask will start for the Bruins in net tonight in game two. He said a couple of guys are receiving treatment, but depending on how that goes, he actually expects the lineup to be the same as yesterday's double overtime win over Carolina. Face off tonight at 8. Sox and Rays finished their four-game set at 4:30 this afternoon on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. By the way, Sean McDonough makes his season debut in the booth today. Kyle Hart makes his major league debut as well on the mound for the Sox. Just take him, adopt him as a member of the family. What the hell?
Can I have his jersey after the game? I'm not sure he's going to get a second start, so can I have the jersey when you're done with this?
I don't think that's COVID safe.
And it also, by the way, doesn't have a name on it. They don't have names on home jerseys.
Fair point.
Do what you want.
Is this a home game?
I don't even know. They're at Fenway.
Damn it.
The Celtics playoff matchup is set. C's take on the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the playoffs, either Monday or Tuesday of next week. Trending also brought to you by the Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, where everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer and works to create a personalized care plan just for you. A plan focused on keeping you safe and defeating your cancer. Learn more at youhaveus.org. Mike Giardi joins us next. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale and Keith.
Let's get back
with Andy Hart
on Sports Radio WEEI.
On WEEI.
Let's talk more about the new-look Patriots in the National Football League in general. Our buddy from the NFL Network, Mike Giardi, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen.
We're hearing a lot of talk about the high energy around the Patriots. Is that an acknowledgement of a different feel because of the new guy coming in, or a subtle shot at the guy who left?
It's a good question. In fact, I was just thinking about that before I came on, because it's been something that has been repeated to me both privately by players and then obviously to the various Zoom calls that we've done, where guys keep mentioning the energy that this quarterback, Cam Newton, is bringing to the table. And I think if you sort of go by how Tom carried himself last year, that I don't know if they're taking a shot at him, because I don't know that anyone would really do that on the team, because I think they all appreciate all the things that Tom did for him. But, you know, maybe it's just an observation. Hey, last year our quarterback was a little bit of a mope, and this year the guy that might be the quarterback, he's, you know, dancing, having a good time, trying to bring that energy and you know, kind of get us juiced here as, you know, about a month away from the start of the regular season.
You call him a mope. I call him Sulky McSulk Pants, but we'll move on to the next question. The last couple days here at WEEI and WEEI.com, we've been debating both in print and on the air. A simple question. Which member of the Patriots has the most to prove in 2020? There's plenty of options. Ken Laird curiously picked Julian Edelman, but I wonder what you would say.
I mean, I'd say it's the quarterback, whoever the quarterback is. And I'm, you know, in the camp that it's Cam's job to lose. But if, for instance, he does lose it, or Stidham just plays out of his mind and he's a young Aaron Rodgers, I think for whoever takes that position, obviously the comparisons to Brady are going to be nonstop. You can't avoid that. The success that they had under Brady, you can't avoid that. Can you live up to that? I mean, you can't be him. No one's going to be him. The 9 Super Bowl trips is probably going to be unmatched in NFL history, but can you be a representative quarterback of this team and make them, you know, the odds-on favorite again to win the AFC East, or be a real playoff contender considering all the turnover they've had? I think that's, whoever that is, there's a lot on their shoulders.
Mike, speaking of the quarterback position, does Cam have the perfect personality and confidence level to be the guy to replace Tom Brady?
I think he does. I mean, I think you're seeing it. And again, just in the conversations I've been having with players, that sort of energy and that sort of swagger that he brings. As one guy said to me, he's the show already. I think that's kind of necessary for this transition here. You know, there's going to be so many eyeballs on it, and there's going to be so much criticism. And, you know, Brady's obviously despite the pandemic, is in a pretty amazing situation with the talent that Tampa Bay has surrounded him. And I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they're first and goal on the one and Bruce is letting them throw the ball, because I think there's a little, you know, I think there's a little competition that's obviously going to be there between Brady and the Patriots. And you know, showing those numbers will, I think, will matter to Tom.
Right.
Maybe even more so than they ever did. So, yeah, I definitely think so.
We saw the Patriots on the practice field for the first time yesterday and saw video and saw Bill Belichick and the coaches and the trainers all wearing masks despite the heat and humidity under the sun on the practice field. As you're gauging around the NFL, how are teams feeling about the protocols that have been put in place? Are they feeling more positive about this working, less? What's your take on what they're saying?
I think it's almost universally positive, Dale. I think that so many teams didn't just do what, you know, was required, but then went above and beyond. You know, for instance, I was just on Zoom calls with Buffalo, and Josh Allen, the quarterback, was like, you know, I have supreme confidence that we can stay healthy so long as guys do the right thing when they're away from the facility. And I think that's really what it comes down to for everybody, right? Is can you keep yourself semi-quarantined here for the next 6 months, keep yourself in your own bubble, keep your family, friends, the people that are close to you in that similar bubble where they're not taking risks. But I think from what they've done from a facility standpoint across the board, you know, has been pretty amazing. And I think you're hearing that from coast to coast about how the teams have treated this and the players' comfort level with it.
Mike, I think, first of all, people should probably know you don't just cover the Patriots. You've been covering a lot of teams sort of virtually via Zoom calls throughout this weird summer and off season, and I think it was you that tweeted the other day a comment from Brian Flores saying, you know, we're going to have the least preparation in football history. Is it going to be enough? It's going to have to be. And I'm wondering, what is your expectation for 1 month from today when the New England Patriots will open up against the Miami Dolphins and the rest of the NFL will be underway? Are you expecting really sloppy football, defense ahead of offense? Sort of what are you envisioning a month from now?
I'm expecting the teams that have that continuity and that have had it for 3, 4, 5 years, whether it be coaches, coordinators, quarterback, to have a huge advantage. Because I just think that you're hearing people say, well, you're probably gonna have to dumb it down a little bit because there's just not enough time to install. Well, just I'll throw it out, a team I cover, Atlanta. The Falcons have Dan Quinn, they have Matt Ryan, Dirk Cutter's back as the offensive coordinator, but I mean, he's been in and out of there, and there's a great comfort with him that Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, all these players that I think they can be complex instead of being dumbed down, because we know the playbook. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we can do. So let's hit you with all kinds of stuff out of the chute, and you're not prepared for it because you haven't been practicing against it if you're a younger team or a team in transition. And they're going to be, I think, ahead of the game in that regard. And I don't know how long it's going to take for teams to catch up. You know, I assume the good coaches will have their teams well prepared for week one, but I could see, you know, somebody having a miserable first month of the season that we think, you know, maybe is a playoff team or a bubble team in that regard. You know, all of a sudden they're 0-4 because they weren't ready for it. They didn't install enough. They didn't have the pace. Maybe, you know, teams that had the experience in 2011, some of the coaches that went through that was less off-season time for them. If they're able to apply that, I think those teams are going to have an advantage.
Mike, you talk about continuity with an offense, coaching staff, quarterback. With all of that said, COVID-19, all these circumstances, how big of a challenge is this shaping up to be for Josh McDaniels?
See, I don't think I think he's embracing this. I think he's excited for it. Look, no one's going to say having Tom Brady was this anchor around my leg and dragged me down. But obviously, the certain limitations he had physically, and then his desire, especially later in his career, to never want to get hit and throw the ball in the dirt. They're going to have a mobile quarterback now, whether it's Newton or Stidham. Obviously, Newton more so than Stidham, but Stidham moves pretty well. And they're going to be able to do some things that you've seen around the league that the Patriots just couldn't adopt because the quarterback was very comfortable doing it his way. That was essentially his offense. And now it's, you know, I think it's a big year for Josh in the sense that I think if he has a good year with Cam, you know, he's had a hard time the last couple of years sort of getting the attention he deserves and getting that next job. I think if he has a good year with Cam, he's got that next job.
We're talking to Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. Mike, sometimes it's the little things that mean more than expected. And I'll give you an example. Today in the Zoom session with Tua Tagovailoa, he showed up wearing a Ryan Fitzpatrick Miami Dolphins jersey. Little things like that matter in a locker room.
Yeah, and look, I think anybody that's ever had Fitz as a teammate raves about him. And I think that's one of the reasons why Brian, you know, I think they were hoping that Josh Rosen could take that job a year ago. But Fitz is just one of those guys that gets the locker room together and guys want to play for him. And Tua is smart to sort of learn everything that he can from him. And I would assume it's Fitz's job until, you know, he has that slip up or the Dolphins are, you know, going in the wrong direction and he makes the change. But I think stuff like that, yeah, absolutely matters.
Mike, the Patriots have a very intriguing cornerback, and I'm not talking about reigning defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore. J.C. Jackson is a, I think, sort of a lightning rod topic these days. You know, lists coming out that he's like, oh, he's the second best coverage corner in the NFL behind only Gilmore. And he's never actually been a number one corner for a team. He's always played opposite a defensive player of the year. Where do you think J.C. Jackson fits in sort of the hierarchy of cornerbacks? And is he a future true number one, $15 million a year number one cornerback?
If he has another good year this year, he's absolutely going to be a $15 million quarterback cornerback.
Now, Jiminy, whether that's Christmas.
You know how it works. I mean, look, just I know Malcolm had a longer track record, or kind of similar, but Malcolm got paid.
Malcolm also had to deal with Antonio Brown. He was treated as the number one corner. This guy's been second fiddle his whole career, and people want to promote him to first fiddle.
Well, and
sorry, I'm yelling at you, by the way. I
no, yeah, seriously. What did I do?
Being angry.
I didn't create this. Jeez. No, look, the Patriots are in an interesting situation with Gilmore, right? Because JC is an undrafted free agent guy. His contract comes up. Gilmore has to keep pushing his money. Steph, I believe, is 30 now. Do you want to extend Steph and go beyond? Or do they look at JC and say, no, this guy could really be a number one, and maybe there's a decision to be made if he continues to play at that level at the end of the season when you got to pick one or the other? Maybe they pick the younger guy. I don't know. I mean, I personally like the known commodity in Gilmore. I like the way he works. I like the way he goes about his business. But then, you know, is he going to be asking to be paid the most money for any cornerback in the league in the history at 30, 31? Then, you know, do the Patriots want to do something like that for a player that maybe he's at his peak and that what you're going to see beyond this is sort of a slow decline? I don't know, but it's an interesting question for sure, and one certainly we're going to monitor all year long.
Mike, of course, the Patriots earlier this week, they signed Lamar Miller to that one-year deal. Is this a warning shot across the bow to Sony Michel to let him know he might be on the clock right now?
I think it's just a physical thing. I mean, three off seasons for him, you know, first coming into the league and then after year one and now here year two, and he's had surgeries in each one of those off seasons.
Yeah.
And this one happening as late as it did, I don't think there's anyone – well, I should say that the people I've talked to in Foxborough, no one's doubting – the timing of the surgery. I know that's been sort of a discussion among social media and Pats fans, like, why did he wait so long? I think it's something that sort of they were hoping it wouldn't have to go to that level, and then it did, and all right, so let's do it. But now there's, you know, is he going to be ready for week one? I think that's in question. Rex has been hurt quite a bit. Damian Harris last year got hurt a couple times and then, you know, basically was shelved for the entire year. So more bodies, the better, more competition. And maybe you're looking at a situation where you're saying, if we can get Lamar from 2 years ago, which is probably a stretch because it's a year from the ACL and it usually takes two to be back to your normal self, but you know, whatever, medicine is improved. Training is improved. If you get that Lamar, then maybe it's a good ad and maybe it squeezes someone else out. Or as you mentioned, I mean, I think, The level of competition to that position is pretty high anyway.
Yeah,
so I think
yep.
Sony shouldn't feel comfortable despite being a first round draft pick. You know, like he knows he's got to play. He knows that there's a 5th year option that they're going to have to consider at the end of this year. Will they want to pick that up? Well, not if you're not healthy, not if you're not producing. So I think there's a lot on Sony this year when he finally gets back and gets healthy.
Final quick question to get you out of here. on September 13th? Are they teeing it up at Gillette Stadium?
They are.
With fans? With fans?
I know. I've heard this the whole idea of the pod system. I think probably a little early for that. I think you might see it in a couple stadiums. We certainly know there's certain states that have the way they've approached COVID. Wouldn't surprise me if they have people in their stands on a limited basis. But I would think here it'd probably be a little bit. I mean, that's just my gut. I haven't delved deep into that because it's going to be what it's going to be. But I would just think we'll be a little bit more conservative around here.
Mike, we always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. And Andy, stop yelling at me.
Sorry. I'm very emotional. I'm passionate. I try to bring the energy in. It overflows at
some
times.
Some would just say angry.
A-hole.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Mike Giardi from the NFL Network joining us. 617-779-7937. I've got an update on Andy Hart's favorite college football coach. It's coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, with Nick Cattles. This is Sports Radio WEEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
So a couple of days ago, Andy and I were working together, and we discovered, we learned, Andy's favorite college football coach. And that was Scott Frost from the University of Nebraska, who said, hey, whether we play Big Ten football or not, we're playing this year.
Right.
We're playing this fall.
He put his big footballs on the table.
He did.
Then
until
he took
the AD and the team president today said, no, we're not playing football. Sorry, Scott, but no, you don't get to play.
Yeah, I always like to say everybody has a boss, and he found that out. Like, he can talk big. And
the AD and the school president were his two bosses, and they said, Scott, what are you doing?
You may have been a great player at the school. You may have had a nice run here as a young up-and-coming coach, and you're turning things around and all that, but everybody has a boss, and he found out you can't just necessarily go rogue and do whatever the hell you want to do. So he's not my favorite coach anymore, Dale. I'm off him.
He was 2 days ago. You loved the guy. And
now I'm back to Ed Orgeron. Yeah, right.
So let me just bring up one other college football coach note for just one brief second. We're going to talk Celtics at the top of the hour. Nick, you and I have probably at one time or another during the course of our lives said something we wish we could take back. I'm assuming Andy never has.
Probably a good assumption.
That seems
accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. So my buddy Steve Buckley, who writes for The Athletic, wrote a piece with UMass football coach Walt Bell. Now, he's the head football coach at UMass. He found out that, you know, there's no football this fall at UMass. And here's the quote that Walt Bell told Buck that when I read it, I said, I don't believe I would have shared that. Quote, you know, my dad passed away in 2008. My biological mom OD'd in 2012. And to be honest with you, this is probably a tougher day than both of those. Do you think you need a little perspective in life, Walt?
Well, but Daly has perspective. Like,
he
you know
has
what I mean? Like,
none.
No, but he has been through personal tough times, right? Like, that's what we always say when, you know, bad things happen. Really puts life in perspective. I don't, you know, stress out about the little things anymore. He has perspective. He lost both of his parents, one in a...
No. What he said was, this day, finding out there was no football, this day was tougher than both of those.
Right, and he's basically...
That is no perspective,
see,
none.
See, I disagree. You gotta give the guy, it's his personal feeling. He has... I would say that, Dale, if he had lived like this perfect life and everything's great and this is the toughest thing I've ever been through in... No, he's been through tough times. Now, you can disagree with it. You can disagree with his personal opinions and feelings.
I would suggest that the death of one, or in this case, both of your parents, probably should have been a bigger deal to you than finding out your football season got canceled.
Right, but he had to, I mean, he crushed, you know, 80, 90, 100 young men, right? That's what he's looking at. Like, I just pulled the carpet out from under the dreams and aspirations of all these young guys. And whether he should have said this or not or shared it publicly, that's a whole different thing. But he has perspective, and I think that is the point he was trying to make. Now, we as individuals, I try to never question how people grieve.
Oh, God,
right?
No, that like, wasn't my point at all.
No, I know, but like, Isaiah Thomas shouldn't play, or this guy shouldn't play. Bill Belichick shouldn't have coached and then left afterwards to go to his dad's funeral. Nope, I don't make those judgments because you know what? I don't want you judging me when I go through something. I want to make whatever decision I feel is best for me. But the point he's making, and whether he made it in the correct way or not, is the one I was trying to make earlier, that, you know, like high school football players playing or not playing is not life or death, but it is to them. And this, you know, low-level independent football coach who I may or may not have heard of before today, this,
maybe not have.
The name just did not ring a bell, Dale. I don't know whether that's CTE or me being an idiot.
Both.
But, yeah, probably fair, Dale. But to the, this is life and death. This is what they're so invested in at the time. And that's why I do think on some level I agree with the fact that adults in the room, like Scott Frost, is emotional. He wants to play. The adults in the room need to say, I know you want to play, and believe me, I appreciate the energy and the passion and the, you know, go-for-it-ness of you, but we need to be above this. We need to think at a higher level. But I think that's, you're getting insight into these decisions emotionally, how they affect people.
Well, I perceive him as a hardo. Now,
that's kind of how I read it too, Nick.
But a huge hardo in all caps. When you talk about football the way he's talking about football, I think this is an example of being in the football bubble. And we talk about coaches and players. You know, they're so wrapped up in that world. And I get it. It's their world. They live it. They breathe it. They crap it. They sleep on it. Everything, right? So I do understand that. They're passionate about what they do and they love what they do. But they have the inability of pulling themselves out of that bubble, the inability of pulling themselves out of the moment. And that's why, to go back to our conversation the first hour, when we talk about COVID and we talk about how it's affecting college football, that is why that I think you have to remove the coaches. You've got to remove the players. You've got to remove the university presidents and the commissioners of these conferences. They can be at the table and they can have the conversation because it's their lives. But when it's down to the decision should be made by people who are completely unemotional, the ones that are not inside the football bubble. This is an infectious disease. It should be judged by those who have studied it. And if they say, then you shouldn't do this or you should do this, they could say, hey, the ACC, their protocols are good. The testing at these schools have quick turnaround. The efficacy of these tests are fantastic. Then I think they can play. Okay, if that's the decision that is made. But we have to make sure that the right people are making those decisions. And what I would say is, you hear that comment, it's rather obvious he should not be one of the individuals making the decision.
Serious question, not just trying to pick a fight, so to speak, here.
Sure.
But
is
there anybody that's still unemotional on this topic? I feel like this has become such a polarizing topic.
I would say the athletic directors and the college presidents tried to take the emotion out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's so many people that are still so emotional about this topic, and it has become so yes or no, black and white.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, Andy. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think a lot of people are emotional. Now, I try to step away from it. I do have moments where I'm not too happy with certain people doing certain things when I'm around them because they're now putting my, you know, my comfortability in jeopardy. And I think this is one of those situations where you do what you do as long as you're not affecting other people. I have no issue with somebody saying, you know, oh, I don't want to wear a mask. I don't think you have to wear a mask. If they're not going to invade my space, if they're not going to go into a common area and do what they do, right? So everybody has an individual choice. What I'm saying is you have to find those people, and they are few and far between in the year 2020, especially with what's going on both sides of the aisle politically right now. It's a food fight in the political world. It always has been, but it's even worse now. They get the mayonnaise involved. So you've got to find those people who are able to, you know, step out of that and say, we're making the best decision for everybody. They're like, that's what we're going to do with this. We're not making the decision based on money. We're not making the decision based on TV deals. None of that kind of stuff. We're making it based on one thing. Is it the right thing? Is it the safe thing to do? If they can answer that question yes, then do it. If you answer that question no, being honest with yourself, then you've got to pull the plug and walk away.
The Boston Celtics JV squad is playing against the Washington team right now in the bubble in Orlando. They wrap up the quote-unquote regular season, getting ready for the playoffs that start next week. Their coach got a contract extension. At least one voice on this radio station yesterday said that was a mistake. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.